It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, the National Edition, live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Mike Rupp, NHL analyst, former NHLer. We get set for a slate of games tonight. But first of all, sad news in the hockey world. Glenn Healy and our NHL alumni issued this release earlier today. The NHL Alumni Association is devastated to learn that Stanley Cup champion Chris Simon has passed away at the age of 52. Simon became a Stanley Cup champion with the Avalanche in 1995-96 season. Chris was never afraid to stand up for his teammates and played a key role in the dressing room. He was a beloved friend, father, brother, and son. We send our deepest condolences to Chris's family, friends, and former teammates during this very difficult time, as we also send our condolences from the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Yeah, echo that sentiment. Guy who scored 29 goals, went to 3 Stanley Cup finals. You know, had some challenges post-career, and just really thoughts with the family. It's a tough time. Sounds sudden and shocking. So,
as someone that competed against him and had a couple of battles on the ice with him, I could tell you that...
I cannot believe you fought Chris.
I was never more fearful for my life than going up against him.
He was big
and mean. And the one thing that I always loved hearing is he was gentle off the ice. I never got to know him. But one of my best moments came off of fighting him at Madison Square Garden. And this was because the Rangers and the Nordiques, we had something going there. And
I watched the bout, by the way, today.
95, well. Right? Yep. 94,
Simon's
95.
Simon's listed at 251 on his
And he was all over me. Like, I could not shake him. And it was like either I stand up to him or I'm just going to eat a crap sandwich the rest of my life.
I'd have eaten so many crap sandwiches rather than do that.
And it didn't get off to a great start with me, but I got 2 or 3 lefts in, and I cut them open. And then I held on for dear life.
Did the refs find the brass knuckles you used?
Or? No. And then if you Google and watch the fight, you can actually see him whisper in my ear, "You're a lot tougher than I thought." Which is that
you're smarter than you look, but for fighting?
Exactly.
It's a bit of a backhanded comment.
And I can't tell you, like, after that, never had any issues with him. I was never stupid enough to ever try that again. Yeah. But it was enough to earn his respect.
Yeah.
And it was a good feeling knowing that
he felt like I could stand in there.
And I'm still standing. I'm still here.
Man, there's a fight of him and Ty Domi, too, where Domi goes down to his knees and gets back up. To me, it's Domi loses the fight, but it's the biggest validation of his toughness ever that he stood back up to continue fighting the man.
Yeah.
Anyway, Simon was a great player, and again, it's a big loss for the hockey world.
Yeah, and listen, I know there's going to be a lot of follow-up stories to this, and it's probably going to revisit the whole fighting thing, CTE, and I get all of that. And, you know, perhaps we can participate in conversations like that moving forward, but today's not the day to do it.
No.
Agreed. So once again, we can, we send our condolences to Chris Simon's family. All right. How's Rupper? We got him ready?
Apparently we're going on a tour of the Prudential Center right now.
We're told 10 more seconds.
Okay.
10 more seconds. Yeah. Plenty of action tonight, including the Philadelphia Flyers, who have scratched
Sean Couturier,
their team captain.
My God. I can't wait to talk to a rapper on this. You throw it. You go ahead and ask him first.
All right. Is he all set?
There he is.
There he is. Rapper, how are you, pal?
I'm good. Sorry, guys. Took me a little while to get it set up in here. I'm at the Prudential Center. I got Devils Pens game tonight. And of course, I go to set up in the bowl, and you know how it is in this business. They start checking all the audios for tonight, so I move up to the concourse here.
But we love that you made the effort. We love that you're on Zoom. For those of you that can see him, you look great. And We'll get into the Pens and the Devils, but first and foremost, I think one of the biggest stories in the National Hockey League going into tonight has to be the Philadelphia Flyers trying to hang on to a playoff spot and benching their team captain. Rupper, I sat here and talked to the boys earlier, and I'm like, I don't ever recall anything like that happening. How about you? Where does that start in terms of intrigue for you going into tonight?
I didn't see that coming. I don't think anybody did. I mean, you got Sean Couturier, who was just named captain a few months ago. So, but the one thing I have, and I'm not speaking necessarily to this situation, but just knowing Torts, I joked around about this with Scotty Hartnell a little while back too. Obviously, he had him in Columbus. When Torts gives you a letter, or Torts, I don't know, when he feels like you're one of his guys, this stuff's going to happen. Like, because he knows he's going to get a reaction, the right reaction, right? Like, Sean Couturier, he would never have gotten that C if he's not going to handle a situation like this appropriately, right? And, like, some people might say, well, that's garbage. I've never seen it. I don't know if it's garbage or not. We'll have to see. But I'll tell you what, he's very calculated in his decision that he does these types of things. And the thing I mentioned about Scott Hartnell, I remember he sat out Scotty Hartnell the one year in Columbus. Scotty came back the next game and got a hat trick. And, you know, all that does is allows Torts to take that, put it in his back pocket, and he knows that he's got that card to pull it anytime he needs a spark. So I think that this is one of those situations with John Tortorella. They know they're in a spot right here. They've got to get a reaction. This is a big game, huge game. And I would have to assume that it's more about getting a reaction this game and getting Sean Couturier a proper reaction the next game and give this team a spark. We'll see if it works.
So we had Scotty Hartnell on before you, and we asked him about this, and Hartnell failed to mention the follow-up hat trick. He just left out the crucial detail of why Torts has gone back to this. So that's very funny.
It would have given him credit, I think, Torts, then.
Yeah, he didn't want to validate Torts. Okay, so aside from how Couturier would feel about this, you're Garnet Hathaway or whoever sitting in the room. How do you feel? You're a point up on the Capitals, two up in the second wild card spot. You need to win games here. How do you feel about the decision?
Well, I think it pisses me off. I mean, you know, that's your leader. But maybe that's the point. Again, I'm trying to fill in the blanks here. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. The knee jerk doesn't make sense. Like, why would you do that in such an important game? But it would tick me off. I think I would come out and want to. You know, it's going to give everybody a little bit of a wake-up call, because if it's happening to him, it can happen to any single one of us. And, I think that's one of the big things. And it's big for someone in that room, and they've got some leaders in that room and leadership guys to step up and say those right things in this moment. But, listen, I don't believe at all that this is we're going to start scratching Sean Couturier down the stretch here to make the playoffs. Like, I think this is just to throw some gasoline on the fire. Or throw some gasoline out there, and this is maybe lighting that match.
We're talking to Mike Rupp, NHL Network analyst, former NHLer, and of course Stanley Cup champion. So Rupper, Flyers are holding on right now. There's a strong push by the Washington Capitals. Two teams that you're covering tonight are on the outside looking in. How does it all unfold for you in the Metro?
It's been one of the weirder, I guess, wild card. Chase is being very generous, saying a wild card.
Turtle race?
That's being very generous. I've never seen anything like this, guys. We were talking about this yesterday, actually, on NHL Network. I have certain measurements, and I'm sure you guys have your own, and fans have their own, of who's real, who's not. How do we get to that, right? Like, I have certain things that I go by a lot. Like, an example, this late in the year, I go by goal differential. I go by regulation wins. I've always had this weird thing where I've always said, show me any team's third line, I'll tell you if they're a Stanley Cup contender or not. And then show me if your superstars compete as hard when they don't have the puck to get it back as they do when they have it. Those are all things. You got all four of those things, you're gonna be a contender for me. The Washington Capitals going into last night's game, what, they're minus 31? Like, I don't understand how you can be a playoff team or in that picture, minus 31. The only way you can is everybody else around you is really struggling too. And that's what's happening here, right? Like, I've been impressed. Spencer Carberry, I think, has done an incredible job. I remember first five games of the season, I watched probably three or four of the Washington Capitals. Fellas, it was one of the worst hockey teams I've seen in the National Hockey League. It was terrible. And it took some time. Yeah. They got it going. And the fact that they got it going with Ovi, well-documented, he hasn't been like himself. The injuries they've had, no Nick Backstrom. Power play hasn't been lights out. Spencer Carberry's done a great job, but then I still wonder myself, is this a good hockey team? Like, everything else I've measured with says no, but they're the only team that seems like they're kind of winning and trying to force their way into the playoffs here.
Okay, so, you know, take Philly, Washington, Detroit, the Islanders, Sabres, Penguins, Devils. Do any of your personal metrics tell you that's a good hockey team?
No. They don't. I mean, I guess the one that would maybe stand out, but, you know, at the end of the day, we can have all of our metrics and measurements, but at the end of the day, you got to get points, you got to get wins, and you got to find ways to do it and not shoot yourself in the foot. I'd say all season long, probably until the last month or so, the Penguins had these underlying numbers that I'm like, they're going to get in. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. And it hasn't been the case, right? Like, they just can't find ways where they kind of, they can't string anything together. The Islanders have been one. I've been on here with you guys this year saying, no, that team's an absolute farce. You rewind 2 weeks ago, they were the only team winning, right? Like, they're the only team kind of finding their way or forcing their way in. Detroit, I mean, none of these teams to me, I think if any of them, one of them will make the playoffs, but it's by default. It's by default because you're going to be backing your way in. This is going to be a pretty big drop-off with Wild Card 2 and the rest of the pack, I believe, in the East.
You know, the interesting part is we look at the Washington Capitals at a goal differential of minus 27. I don't know what the breakdown is, but where are those fall on Darcy Kuemper and where are those fall on Charlie Lindgren? And I'm just looking at Lindgren's last five starts, and there are two goals or less. And, like, where's this guy in the storyline if he manages to get the Washington Capitals in the playoffs? Like, far and away MVP of the team, but can you credit him, like, league-wide MVP votes for being most valuable to his team?
I mean, you know, if you go off of what he was deemed as at the beginning of the year, like if you were to slot Charlie Lindgren as what he is and then what he means to this team and what he's done for this team, you got an argument there. I mean, Charlie Lindgren's been awesome. I actually think I like Darcy. I played with Kemps in Minnesota, so I'll put some of that aside. I think that the contract he signed after they won the cup there in Colorado, I mean, when we look at it now, what he's making, it's not like crazy money, but he hasn't been probably as solid as they wanted. But Charlie Lindgren's kind of grabbed a hold of this. I was actually shocked. I would have been on the horn with the Washington Capitals trying to trade for Charlie Lindgren at the deadline. And for me, to get a guy in, I mean, you talk about what he doesn't make salary-wise and what he's worth on the ice, it would have been lights out, and I think we're seeing it right now. I mean, it's crazy. What'd you say it was, 27? Is that what they are now, minus 27?
Yeah.
If you're getting in the playoffs at minus 27, you've got to have a couple special stories, and I think Charlie Lindgren's one of them.
So, you know, aside from the fringe teams in the conference, there's four teams with a legit shot to win the East, Boston, Florida, the Rangers, and the Hurricanes. Is there anyone that stands out to you since the deadline where you say, okay, you know, that team is probably the best of the bunch? I know everyone loves Florida because they're a little bit mean. Are you on Team Panthers with everyone else?
I'm on Team Panthers. I kind of am embarrassed to admit this, but I'm kind of flowing with the wind in the last few weeks because all of a sudden now I'm Team Canes.
Like, yeah.
The Carolina Hurricanes right now, what they did, I did a couple interviews with Cousy since all that went down. It's just, you get a vibe. You get a vibe right now in Carolina. Like, Cousy's got another effort or second chance, I guess, at his, he's been around a long time, not second chance of his career, but another effort to go and win a Stanley Cup. He seems rejuvenated. Jake Gensel, He's playing well. They're just a team that they manufactured a second line. Like, who does that? Like, when at trade deadline time, can you manufacture a legitimate second line with a stud they already had in Marty Natchez? So that's kind of, I think I'm in the East. I've been Florida Panthers the whole time, but in the last 2 weeks, right in the rearview mirror is probably the Carolina Hurricanes. I think that team's legit.
Rupper, you just missed a New Jersey goal, I think.
Someone scored.
No, they won't score. No one will score in this game until the third period. Actually, there might be a bunch in the first period. We don't know. I mean, that's the crazy thing. We never know what you're going to see with the Devils and Penguins. That's why both these two teams are in the position they're at.
Okay, so saying that, you spent a large majority of your career with both these hockey clubs. Who's hurting more right now for the position that they're in?
For me, I think it's the Penguins. I think so. New Jersey's interesting to me. Last year was a magical season. Like, guys, you've played the game, been around the game a long time. When you're in your locker room stalls and you're looking next to you, that guy's having a career year on one side of you. You look over here, this guy's having a career year. You're playing your best season of your career. That's not going to be matched next year. And the way things went in Jersey with, you know, a couple young players on the back end getting more of an opportunity, which is great, but there comes growing pains with that. The goaltending, the way it was last year, is not the same. The scoring that they were getting last year, not the same. Injuries this year, all that stuff. I think this Devils team is still set up to be very, very nice. I think that everybody just got a little too ahead of themselves from what that team did last year, and they're having a little bit of a market correction right now. They'll be back next year. I think they'll be stronger. They'll make their adjustments. They see their needs. And the Penguins, on the other hand, are a team that I think is going to look a lot different next year. I think Kyle Dubas went out. He tried to do what he could at deadline time, saw the market wasn't bearing what he was hoping, and they kind of parked it. And, you know, they knew they needed to move Jake Guentzel. They did that, and quite frankly, and you guys know Michael Bunting really well, he looks awesome in this lineup. You know why? Because no one on this Penguins team consistently goes in the net and scores greasy ways, is hard to play against, is a nuisance. Like, he is a big value with this team. He's fitted really nice. But outside of that, I mean, I think there's guys that they fielded phone calls on the deadline, probably with, you know, Ricard Raquel, Lars Eller, Riley Smith. I bet you the phone was off the hook with a guy like Marcus Pedersen because of his value and how good he's been. He's been arguably the best defenseman of this organization the last 2 years. We'll see what happens down the stretch. I think prior draft, we're going to see lots of movement here in Pittsburgh, and they're going to really recalibrate going into next year because Sidney Crosby's elite. He's still elite right now, and I think Kyle Dubas is going to do anything he can to change the face of this team going into next year.
Just quickly on Crosby. Listen, I was one of those guys a few weeks ago that said he's not going anywhere. That guy is definitely retiring a Pittsburgh Penguin. But just listening to him or watching his body language here, I'm not as convinced as I was weeks ago, Rupper. How about you?
I've got zero inside scoop on this. Obviously, I played with Tanger, Gino, and Sid. I would never ask him this. I can never imagine him playing in a different uniform, but I also can't imagine him dealing with losing much longer. And that's a big difference. Like, this guy, Sidney Crosby, the face of hockey, he's been, I don't need to tell you all the things. Everybody knows he's highly, highly regarded as a human being. People don't realize he will rip your limbs off to win in hockey, to win at any competition. If you're playing soccer, warming up in the hallway, he is a competitor. If they don't make the playoffs this year, and it's a long shot for them to do it, and next year something happens and it doesn't look the same, I think all bets are off. I mean, there's going to be some question marks this summer when the contracts can start coming up and be able to talk about it. But yeah, I can't imagine him being anywhere else, but I even more can't imagine this guy not going on a deep run before he retires. And if he doesn't see that here, I don't know what's going to happen.
You know, it's not impossible for them to get in just based on how poor the teams above them are. It's a very, very long shot. But assuming he misses the playoffs two years in a row, to make a big move, Dubas would have to do a big thing. up here in Canada, people are talking about, could Erik Karlsson end up back in Ottawa? Are you thinking, is it unrealistic to think that something huge like that, where, you know, a big payroll guy is on the way out?
Well, I mean, listen, I think that they're looking to do anything. I don't believe, and I know you can go back to last season, you can mention some of the new guys that Kyle Dubas is brought in. But in all honesty, like, he inherited kind of a mess, right? Like, and he was very limited in how he can put his fingerprints on this team. If he can move out any decent salary, I think he'll do it. And if that's Erik Karlsson, I think they do it. If there's a taker out there, I think they would do that. And that doesn't mean that Erik Karlsson's been an absolute disaster. That has not been the case. He's actually been pretty good in a lot of games. It just is a little bit of a miscast and kind of what we're seeing this year and what they actually need as a team. And you can't fulfill those needs when you've got money tied up with some of these other, you know, contracts. So, I think it's either a big one like that or some of those players, like I mentioned. You know, you go $4 million here, $5 million there, $4 million there. Start adding that up and giving yourself some money to go out and make some moves. I expect some big things to happen, though, once the season ends.
Rupper, one more for me before we let you go, and that's the trade deadline. We haven't talked to you since that happened. And in the West, we saw teams load up, particularly Colorado and Vegas. Did Edmonton do enough with Carrick and Adam Henrique?
I think they did. I was one. I would have gone and gotten another insurance policy, and that just because they're great. Hey, nothing to do with Stuart Skinner. Like, he's the guy. Calvin Picker's been awesome. But, I mean, you're literally one goalie going cold or an injury away from you don't know. And you have a lot riding on that. But, I mean, I'm okay with what they did because I thought that they got specialty players. And I'm big on getting specialty players, not changing the whole format of your team. So I'm okay. I don't think they needed to do much more. I probably would have done something in net. But, man, I mean, you talk about the big moves, the Vegas Golden Knights. These guys are like the New York Yankees of hockey every single year. And what they just swing for the fences. They don't care about tomorrow. Colorado, the moves they made, man. Some pretty interesting ones, role-playing guys that can provide the intangibles come playoff times. West got better for sure. I still think Edmonton's going to be a tough out.
Rupper, really appreciate you making an effort for us. Have fun tonight covering the Penguins and the Devils.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Rupper.
That was awesome. He's so good.
What a guy.
Yeah.
The man.
That's a workout. Is he holding his phone the whole time? That's tough.
I don't know. But it was good.
He's tough to, because he's got a show from 4 to 6 a lot on Sirius,
yeah.
So it's hard to track him down. So every time we can get him, it's
for sure.
He's the man.
Okay, just a little bit of a follow-up off our Crosby-Pittsburgh conversation.
Mm.
And I don't think the story's going away anytime soon.
Mm.
I think Sid could turn around this summer and sign a 3-year deal. And I don't think that storyline is going anywhere anytime soon.
Even if he signs.
Even if he signs.
The way he articulated it there to me was a way that I hadn't really heard. And it really makes sense that, like, you go into next year. Sure, I'm eligible to sign. I'll sign for my money. You pay me some of the money, maybe a little more than 8.7 that I've been making for the last little while.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the direction. You see how the season starts. You see what's going on towards the deadline. We still stink.
Yeah.
Then it's time.
Then and those conversations will have to happen this summer before he signs.
So he would say, I'll sign.
Yes.
I'm going to have a no move so I can dictate some terms.
Yes.
And if I don't like what's happening come January.
You're going to do everything you can to get me where I want to go.
Which is going to make
Kyle Dubas
them.
Goes, okay.
Yeah, yeah. My one team trade list, the Toronto. No. Anyways.
But you're right. If you're Dubas, then you're like, okay. We need an overhaul.
Hey, you got so mad.
You don't cut those Tim Horton commercials with your buddy all these years.
He's
and
going
then
to Colorado, 100%.
Go to Toronto.
It's Colorado. There's no question it's Colorado. If it's anywhere, it's Colorado.
Not Montreal.
But when you're still at the level he's at, and this organization is heading south before it heads north anytime soon, then I cannot believe that he can go through 82 games like he's gone the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. What's crazy about the Colorado suggestion is there aren't many teams where he would go and you'd be like, I get it, because he can't play in the Metro. He's not going to go play for the Flyers. He's not going to go play for the Rangers or someone he's been head-to-head with. He's not going to go to Canada, really. None of the teams make sense.
Boy, the Flyers, I mean, that would be...
I mean, that's Brett Favre going to the Vikings.
Yeah, there's no world.
Like, Colorado, like, you can do it. The only thing there is Landeskog will come back.
No.
Mm.
Listen, everything that I've talked to says... It is. He's got a very unique injury.
Sure. The cartilage replacement.
No one's been able to kind of recover from.
Well, no one's, I don't think, done it in hockey where they've tried to
undertake
it.
It's a long shot at best.
To play, period.
To play. Well,
like in the NHL.
You could play, but at 50 or 60% of your strength that you need.
Right. So him playing in playoffs this year is not happening.
Again, the people that I've talked to, highly, highly unlikely.
Well, there's your Crosby money, Avs fans, right there.
Yeah, it just makes the most sense. Like, but you can't picture him. Think of the Canadian markets. Like, he's not going to go play for the stinky Habs. They're not ready for it.
Put it this way. They went into the trade market. Colorado went into the trade market without any thought that Landeskog was going to return ever. It is almost like a bonus if some miracle happens.
Round three.
And his contract comes back on the books.
Right, but in playoffs doesn't matter.
So. No, it doesn't matter, but it does matter if you traded for something that carried over to next season and then you had to bring his contract back.
Right.
So they've moved on as if he's never coming back. Their game plan going into the trade deadline was that he's not coming back ever. And if he does, we'll figure it out then.
Makes a lot of sense, and I agree with the decision to do that. I hope for his sake. The last time he played a game, he lifted the Stanley Cup. That was two seasons ago now. So
it's crazy. Yeah. Been a long time. But, Sid to Canada would be very fun.
It would. Vancouver,
I wonder if he would ever...
Vancouver work?
Well, I was going to say the Jimmy Rutherford connection, but it's like everyone loves Sid. They're not going to be like, no.
this Crosby kid?
Yeah.
What was his favorite team growing up?
Montreal. They're not ready for it.
Listen, a couple signings since
Sid. Oh, come on.
I'm just.
Come on.
I don't know.
Listen, things at the wall.
Absolutely. What do you think we do on this show?
Buddy, Slavkovsky's taking a step. Oh, he has. He looks Sid good.
I've noticed him for the first time ever. What a step.
Forget about reality here. Just Sid as a Montreal Canadian.
I mean, my God.
There's not
That's a game
any
changer.
There is nothing. Don't get me wrong. There is nothing that would break my heart more than that. But for the game, it's amazing. But for Leaf fans, it's a nightmare. It's a total nightmare.
Just given how different the colors are, like seeing
them
come out
in
that jersey.
Very weird. Very weird. Yeah. Anyways, do you want to do, we'll do game time on the other side of the break.
Oh, okay.
How's that?
My producer has spoken.
There we go.
Game time when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. What time is it, Sammy?
Oh, sorry. I was just looking at it. Something stupid. It's game
this
time.
This is cute, eh?
It's game time. Presented by Bet365.
Buddy.
They
gave him a fastball, and he just kept the bat. No, you didn't even whiff.
I look like
you didn't even lift the bat off your shoulder. You got caught looking.
I look like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa out there. Can't touch a heater.
Such an obscure reference.
Well, he's a Jays guy.
Oh.
What's going on with the Jays, by the way, real quick?
I don't know. So Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is a guy that the Jays, kind of like a utility guy that the Jays gave a lot of money to. And like, there's been like multiple articles about how he got the best contract in the offseason by far.
Based on his actual ability?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great to hear.
People are going to not enjoy him. I promise you. But hey, the Jays, a lot of them are having hot springs. Varsho's been good. Vlad's been good.
Okay, listen.
But all the pitchers are hurt.
I am an absolute nobody to give Joey Votto any advice at all.
Oh boy.
Okay, the guy's made like $250 million, won an MVP. But buddy, don't ever tell anybody that you rolled over your ankle stepping on a bat. Okay? Make something up. Yeah. But do not admit that.
My old bones crumbled.
That, listen, my dad's 90.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing right now. He's rolling over his ankle somewhere.
I thought you were going to say, don't write pretentious handwritten notes and post them on Twitter. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Roll my eyes at you.
What was this last year? So all of a sudden, it's like he's trying to make the J's. Anyways, it's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary.
Let me just stop you. Did you
at
read
Bet365,
the note?
Bet365 must be 19 plus.
Probably not, right?
Ontario only.
Cursive's hard for you.
Please play responsibly. Please don't read during our sponsor read. Thank you. I didn't read it.
Shocker.
I read Adam Lascaris, who put it out in regular typed out. So I read a version of it where I could actually read it.
I'm impressed you read it. That's
because
good.
His handwriting is impossible to read. I couldn't read it at all. Could you read it?
I did, but I admit it was hard to read.
It was really hard to read. I gave up. My ADD, I'm like, nope. I ain't getting through this. All right, so there's some hockey games tonight. 13 games, I think, in fact, tonight. Lots of teams playing. There's a couple that I'm looking at. The Blues and Colorado are two hot teams. I think the Colorado Avalanche are going for 7 straight wins tonight, and the St. Louis Blues have won 4 in a row, who are starting to creep up the standings towards giving the Golden Knights a bit of a scare.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a big time long shot on home ice against the hot Colorado Avalanche, as they should be. But you know, as I like to do once in a while on this show, I like to take a shot. So give me the red-hot St. Louis Blues at plus 180 on home ice against the Colorado Avalanche. And if you wanted to do the anti-Vegas parlay, where you're thinking that you want the Vegas Golden Knights to lose and miss the playoffs, like many of our Edmonton listeners probably do and Vancouver listeners probably do, give me a Tampa Bay Lightning, who are in Vegas tonight, to take on the Golden Knights at plus 115, who have been playing well recently. And the St. Louis Blues, that parlay with those two teams plays plus 502.
Ooh,
so,
buddy.
The little anti-Vegas Golden Knights parlay.
I can't imagine something that would unite hockey fans like the Golden Knights missing playoffs. Could you imagine the support, the outcrying of applause from around the NHL if this team pulls all those strings to get all these guys and their $1 million or $100 million cap and they miss playoffs?
It is not.
Why
it's
is
not
it
that far to the realm of possibility?
Why is it pulling strings? Why don't you just say cheated to get this
lineup?
That's
what I did say.
They didn't cheat. There's not
one bit
of cheating.
There's no cheating.
Nope.
No. The smart GM, used a loophole to get a sick team in the most important time of the year.
I think it's semantics here. If a guy can play before the end of the regular season, you have him not play so you can rig the salary cap. I'll call that cheating.
If you done?
I just had one thing I wanted to mention, that the San Jose Sharks are in Nashville tonight. You don't see this very often. The Nashville Predators are minus 525 favorites against the San Jose Sharks.
Oh, so I
they don't consider them an NHL team anymore?
That's basically what they're saying.
That's an NHL team playing an AHL team. Minus 525 is a massive
What's the other
numbers.
Side of that?
Plus 390. Still
to
a hockey
team
game.
To win a game in the NHL.
I'm not telling you to bet on the Sharks, but I'm definitely not telling you to bet the Preds.
Plus a couple of goals. Or
at minus 525. Okay, I'm done. Let me read my end because he was so rudely reading. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Thank you, Bet365.
I'm just wondering on your Colorado tonight, if they get any goaltending at all out of Georgiev, are they not the team to beat?
I agree. The Trenin and Duhaime additions. I know Mittelstadt goes a long way for them, but I love that they suddenly have this like hard forechecking physical fourth line. That's something to me that they were really missing down the order, and it reminds me of adding Goodrow and Coleman for Tampa Bay. You know, it's like a couple guys. I don't think they have that level of offense, but I just like the way.
But
those
we never
play.
Thought that they had that level of offense back then too. Coleman,
those guys.
And,
you're right. Yeah. You could see
you
some potential.
Just thought
potential.
There would be like.
And actually, Trenin scored 24 as a rookie, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm going to go ahead and say he can shoot some in the net if need be.
I'm just starting to think, too, that Edmonton just didn't have that same push. And I just wonder if there's a psychological disadvantage for that team to go, okay, we added a couple of depth guys, but we didn't do what Vegas did, and we didn't do what Colorado did.
Just to go back to Trenin, he had 24 points, 17 goals.
My bad.
Right?
17 goals is still, yeah, very, good, very good. So I know that from following their, like, more analytics-bent fans, they're not happy with Henrique so far. He's been playing with Kane and Connor Brown, and that line is underwater, like below 30% in most, like, shot attempt stats. And
yeah.
Around 30%.
There wasn't a Tortorella scratching the captain story, but Sam Carrick was a healthy scratch, I think, in the second game.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not like, shocked by that. He's kind of fringy. Shocked,
but like, if when you make a trade, mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to like healthy scratch a guy well, 2 days after or two yeah. games in off
One,
of a trade.
A playoff game, but right away.
Didn't he score? He scored a big goal recently against Colorado. He scored a big goal.
Yeah. Didn't he fight last... that mutant Olivier in his first game, too?
Olivier, and he scored. He's been in a couple games, and he's out.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, the Carrick, Perry, Janmark fourth line, not bad, but it's not Trenin, Duhaime, Cogliano for me.
Just to me, the Colorado Avalanche, when push comes to shove, I worry about Edmonton against them. I really do.
Walker. Kind of good
Saturday night. The other night.
Kind of good yeah. Saturday night.
I still, like, I think this offense, this Oilers offense, is so head and shoulders above even Colorado in terms of creating there's offense. Just, I just don't know
but there's just
if anyone
a
can
be part
beat.
Of the Oilers still defensively. And I don't know if you went back and we saw the game-winning goal Saturday, of course, off of the Nathan MacKinnon play out of the corner.
Yeah.
To Lekkonen?
Is Lekkonen, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But go watch
Leon.
Bouchard
oh.
go in with Nate MacKinnon and how it was almost as if he said, nothing's going to happen and I don't have to play them that this hard. And
Nate
I'm just going to.
Through the skates, heel pick up one touch.
But even if Bouchard's just 15% harder on Nate. You know, they go into a shootout. They
yeah,
lose
well,
it.
I mean, Leon, too, who's just like,
yeah.
nothing's happening here. And then,
yeah,
it's in the back of your net. I mean, they have one.
Leon's never going to win a. He's not going to win a Selke
no.
anytime soon. And he's never been that. So
I will say there's a guy on every pair for the Oilers in Bouchard, Nurse, and CeCe, who, and I know CeCe's been better, but who you're like, they can make a mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, there can be some misreads, there can be some moments.
Did you see that? The person that tweeted they got their Fanatics Oilers jersey.
A 97 Draisaitl. Yeah. Fanatics taking a beating.
I didn't see that.
They're taking a beating, and they haven't even started with the NHL jersey.
Send that out. 97. I mean, I'd keep it. It's at that point, it's like, well, this is a collector's item. No one's going to have this baby.
Yeah. Saw someone say, put Connor and Leon's body and see what happens. It'd be pretty special.
That would be interesting.
All right, the NHL general manager meetings end today, or is it still going? Are they going to milk another
but
couple of days
happening.
Out of it?
They're doing stuff.
What are they doing?
Kip, you can't put your leg over the boards anymore. It's huge news.
Let's look important here.
They should just release a press statement of what they've...
So they agreed to go to the rules committee to make a few tweaks, including a leg cannot be on the boards now?
Yeah, because the linesman got cut. But there are some interesting things. There's two.
Mark Messier would never have gotten played at all.
Who's he always hanging the leg over? It's insane that you were ever allowed to do it, to be honest.
It's one leg over the boards and then looking at Keenan going, who's up? And then he goes, you are. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, you're already on the ice, so I guess that's you. But two changes that are really interesting to me. So if a penalty is called for puck over glass, they can ask for video to review to prove it did hit something. In the case they're wrong, Insta 5-on-3.
You know how hard it is, like that. You're banking on video evidence if it barely touches a board or the tip of the glass. Like,
yeah.
it'll be we're not sure, so the call will stand as is.
5-on-3 is a really significant punishment
to me,
for challenging.
They didn't even need to announce that, because that'll literally never happen.
Never happen.
No one will ever challenge that.
Nobody.
Like, it was one thing to have Jordan Bean for the Leafs, who gets these offsides and these hand passes, and he nails all those.
There's four officials closer than you as a head coach, or anybody that's in a video room buried in a dressing room somewhere, that you're going to see it better than them.
But there are times when it did touch something and it goes to a power play where it shouldn't. So if those guys can catch it, I mean, I love the risk. The other one, Kip, is if you get a high sticking penalty and you challenge and say it was actually friendly fire, it was their own stick, which happens, right, guys? Yeah. Teammates hit them in the face, whatever. And you're wrong. It was your team. 5-on-3. You've given up a 5-on-3 by getting that challenge wrong, which they're really trying to deter challenges. But if it's a blatant one and you know.
So they needed to go spend $1,400 a night at the Boca Raton Resort to come up with this.
You know what this sounds like? This sounds like really? Sour grapes for a guy who doesn't get to go anymore. That's what this is.
You're damn right.
Well, I mean, you were literally just informed.
Oh, isn't there one that, like goalies, now you warm up?
Yes.
What is that?
If a goalie is pulled with a concussion, like he gets hit in the head and they pull him, the backup can go in and get a warm up. Which, does that mean you dump a bucket of pucks at the hash and shoot him?
I specifically remember
they used to do this
being a kid going to Own Sound Players games with my grandparents, and when the goalie got pulled or a goalie got hurt, they would go out there with like one guy with like three pucks,
you put him with the hashies and you just shoot,
fire, and he'd make a little saves. I remember that specifically. That did that ever happen in the NHL?
I don't know, but it's not.
It's
strange and embarrassing and weird, but
it does happen in the NHL.
I can't think of a worse way for 18,000 people to
sit around. We're all going to watch this guy get hit in the pads seven times.
Their thumbs up, their you know what, while this guy's catching pucks.
It's actually really bad.
It's a
horrible look.
And especially because if it's the other team's goalie, just a great chance for Bronx cheers.
Yeah.
Every time he stops one of the warm-ups. Yeah.
How about this? If your player, so we're in the neutral zone, I high stick the puck, and you know it's me, and you can play the puck next and don't, the faceoff will move up a zone. Or sorry, for the other team. They'll get to go into our zone for the faceoff. So if you play it right away, it'll be right where it happened. But if you don't, then we're going to move the faceoff a zone.
They don't even call, like, offsides, deliberate offsides. They're supposed to go in their offensive zone, too. They never do that. They don't.
You're right. They don't accuse guys of doing things.
No.
So all these things, to Kipper's point, feels like this could have been a Zoom meeting. feels like the fellas could have gone on a Zoom.
You gotta get them in a room once a year.
For what?
Why are we going to South Dakota to do it? You might as well go to Florida.
They killed the NHL draft traditionally because they didn't want to spend the money.
And then they went to the Sphere in Vegas.
But they'll go down there for these. Rule changes.
Yeah.
Don't tell Trotsky that they're
going to
the
Sphere. I have some ideas on how it should be covered. Sportsnet, talk to me. Send us down there. We'll show you how to do it.
Oh, yes. Will we ever.
Even if we do a bad job, we'll just do it once, right?
We'll just do it with Reynolds.
Yeah.
We'll go down with Reynolds, poolside. We'll be ready to rock.
The only brutal part is, like, you can't golf. Like, there's no time.
Oh, really?
No, they sit around all day.
What do you mean you can't golf?
Sammy'd fit it in.
Like, can't get up at 6:30 and go play golf?
No.
Okay.
No, the meeting start at 8 and they go till like 3 or 4 o'clock.
Oh, so you just sit around.
They just sit around and do nothing. It's a Seinfeld episode. Nothing.
So, I know we're going to probably get into this a little more tomorrow, cover the Washington Capitals a little closer tomorrow because the Leafs play them on the second half of back-to-back. Starting to
What's with the...
Sorry.
What does that mean?
Sorry, Sports Beard. But I'm starting to come to the realization that this record's probably going to fall.
Ovi's getting hot better. Again.
Yeah.
So he'll finish with 27, 29. What's he at? 20?
21.
21?
He scored two last night.
So just one of how many guys have done it 19 years in a row?
Yeah, not many.
20 goal
right?
seasons.
It's Gordie Howe and
Jager.
Yeah.
Brendan Shanahan.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how
Brendan
many.
Brendan Shanahan had?
I think so.
Wow.
I do recall hearing his name.
Yeah, I just.
But he, Ovi's the only one to do it with the same team.
Yeah. Buddy, they'll bring Ovi out there, and he's beating the record. He'll be on the, like a Russian gas with a mask. They'll bring him out there and like Bane just to get him through it.
It is still unbelievable how durable and healthy he can still stay. Mm-hmm. He's playing 20 minutes a night. He doesn't come off the power play. Mm. At times, I'm sure it
he was at drives 96% of power play time on ice for his team last I checked. Yes. I don't know where he's at now.
Just looking at his HockeyDB page, 843. Yeah, it just jumps out to you. And it's 894 is the record. It's like, oh, boy. It's fallen. Ovi's going to be the guy, unfortunately, guys.
You also have on the lineup, Dubas wants Crosby to finish his career. I know we've had this conversation, but he did speak a little bit to Pierre LeBrun, did he not?
Yeah.
And did he also mention not talking about Toronto's situation at all?
Well, he said, I think it's pretty clear where we stand on the fact that everyone would like him like to see him and end his career in Pittsburgh. It's my intention that those years that were back and definitely competitive. So it's my intention, and everyone would like to see it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's not like he's definitely back.
Right.
I don't know if he wants to be the guy that
does it.
Traded Sid. I think that's just
that's career defining.
That's a career defining. You will always be the guy that like ended Sidney's run with the Pittsburgh Penguins ugly.
And could you ever get over again with the Penguins fans?
No.
I don't think so. Like, you don't want to be in year two
I don't know.
Your tenure and have everyone be like, that's the guy.
But you need, you can sign Sid, but you need to move him for a couple of firsts or a top blue chip prospect. It's a waste having Sid score 90 points and you're going to miss the playoffs again next year for the third time.
And
still think they might get in.
And this year?
They're going to win tonight.
And
So Buffalo's getting in too?
No.
who else have you got?
Nope. Just Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's.
You had the Leafs thing you wanted me to mention? The quote that he had?
Yeah.
Said, I think it's more that I simply don't want to create any waves in my wake because they impact a lot of people who I care about and loved working with, and I want to see them have success. Unloading my personal feelings is what a lot of people want, and it may make me feel good in the short run, but it's not of any benefit to the Pittsburgh Penguins or the dozens of players and staff in Toronto who I want to have success.
Oh, so he's thinking about the staff in Toronto.
He's taking the high road, boys.
He's thinking about the staff in Toronto.
But I think he said some things without saying them, you know what I mean? By being like, I'd like to get it off my chest, and personally it might feel good in the short term. Does not reek of someone who's holding back praise and love for the organization.
Oh, that's just got a book written all over it.
Does it ever? And they'd be like, in the league, be like, that damn Nick Kiprios. He wouldn't die. It all started with
that
article in the Toronto Star.
No, it did not.
It's like, that's when I became the Joker.
The Joker. Huge night in the NHL tonight. So we mentioned the Pittsburgh Jersey game, whatever, but you got the Rangers playing the Winnipeg Jets, which is two teams trying to win trying to win their respective divisions. The Islanders fighting to stay in it against the Avs. I mean, we got pretty much, is it all the Canadian teams going? We got lots of good hockey tonight, including the Toronto Maple Leafs at the Philadelphia Flyers, who are minus their captain, Sean Couturier.
I know I mentioned Buffalo, and nobody believes that they're going to get in, but I really like Mittelstadt for Byram.
Byram is a good, he's worked out in Buffalo so far. Yeah.
Yeah. And his minutes are huge. And listen, I think those defensemen are hard to find.
He's going to take heat off of Dahlin and Power and allow them to be better, right?
No, I think he's thriving there. And I think the Buffalo Sabres are a better hockey club for it.
They're going to get thumped tonight by the Canucks, though.
That trade could be a disaster.
Could be.
For Colorado?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not I'm not a huge Mittelstadt fan.
And he's a UFA, which I didn't realize. Look at the series UFA.
All right.
They give him.
Anyways.
So like JB said, pick a game, enjoy it. And we're back tomorrow on Real Kipper and Bourne. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. Enjoy your games, everybody.